What's up, guys? Vincent Moreland here to discuss the NFL week one's, first week of the season. I think with the NFL, we jump to conclusions way too quickly. And I think that's what a lot of people are doing with the Baltimore Ravens right now. You know, we lose one game to the Oakland Raiders, who, by the way, is not a bad team. You know, they hung in there last year in the playoff. I believe their record may have been around 500. Maybe 7-9, 9-7. Definitely around that range, though. If I said Oakland Raiders, I meant to say Las Vegas Raiders. But they were pretty good on Monday night. Let me turn that off. Whoopsies. Okay. So I'm trying to see the Raiders record from last year. Okay, 8-8. So they had a 2-6 home record and a 6-2 away record. That's crazy. Wow. Okay. Interesting. The Raiders, they're not like an underperforming team. They wouldn't have been the Raiders, I feel like they should have been a little bit more respected. I didn't give them enough respect. I didn't give them enough credit. So that's totally, on me and a whole bunch of other fans, who gave the Raiders absolutely no credit. But, to kind of diss the Ravens for losing this game. Okay, I remember what I was going to say. The Las Vegas Raiders aren't really on the radar of the New York Jets, Houston Texans, or Jacksonville Jaguars. This was a team that finished around 500 in a really, really tough division. With the, AFC champs, the Chiefs. You have a young stud quarterback in Justin Herbert leading a really good offense, somewhat decent defense in the Los Angeles Chargers. And you have Denver, who's doesn't always perform well, but they're still a respectable team, especially on defense. And if they had a good quarterback with all the weapons they have on offense, they could have been a Super Bowl team. If you put a Aaron Rodgers on that team, despite him having a really bad game, which I'll get into, on that team with Jerry Jeudy and Melvin Gordon and Cortland Sutton, and, KJ Hamler, Tim Patrick, and Javonte Williams, Noah Fant, that's a pretty good core to surround yourself with, It's really not a bad core at all. But, my point is we should not be giving up on the Ravens because they're 0-1. And because, they're likely to go 0-2, playing the Chiefs. Ever since Mahomes and Lamar have been in the league, the Ravens have not beaten the Chiefs. I'll be honest, I don't think it's going to happen this year either. I thought we were going to beat them last year. We didn't, But I'm pretty confident that the Chiefs are going to beat us. And it is kind of sad, but I put the Chiefs in a couple of my parlays. And I'm going to the Ravens game. So that's a little dilemma that I created for myself. So I view it as a win-win in a sense. But anyway, I think Oakland, I hope Oakland plays better. Max Crosby looked like a Hall of Famer last night. I don't know if he'll play like that all the time, defensive end. But in general, I was just really surprised that the Ravens came out. They looked kind of flat. I liked Lamar, though. He, besides the fumbling issues, but he passed the ball pretty well. 19 of 30, that's almost, 67%. He's getting better, He only had 235 yards. He got sacked 3 times. Had 1 touchdown, no interceptions. The touchdowns to Marquise Brown. Tyson Williams had a touchdown run. Latavius Murray had a touchdown run. Lamar Jackson had 86 rushing yards. So, being the lead back in a sense. But, like I said, give Oakland credit for hanging in there. Give Darren Waller his props. getting 10 catches, 105 yards, and a touchdown on his birthday. Very impressive. Brian Edwards showed up, especially in overtime with his 4 catches, 81 yards. I am impressed with the Ravens, though. I'm happy to see Sammy Watkins get 96 yards. I'm happy to see Marquise Brown get 69 yards and a touchdown. I'm glad to see they had a decent amount of targets, more than they normally have. Mark Andrews was kind of a guy that I was surprised that didn't perform that well. He only had 3 catches for 20 yards, only 5 targets. So you saw Lamar was targeting the receivers more when normally he might aim for like the tight ends more, you know. But it was different. I hope that's like kind of a strategy that keeps on going forward, because like normally you don't really want your tight end to lead your team in receiving unless you're like Darren Waller. Or maybe even Travis Kelce, you know. But typically, like, a receiver is going to lead their team in offense, not a tight end. But, yeah, my biggest takeaway from this game is to not underestimate the Ravens just yet. Give them time. Like, the season is not over. And even if we start 0-2, it is not a 16-game season anymore. It's a 17-game season. And we have a lot of games, you know, against opponents that we can beat. We play the Lions. We play the Bears. We play the Vikings. We play the Bengals twice. You know, we might not beat them twice, but we play them twice, you know. I still think the Bengals are the worst team in the division. You know, we have some tough games, though. We got the Rams. We got the Packers. We got the Browns twice. You know, we got the Chiefs. I think we don't have Buffalo this year. I think, yeah, no, we don't have Buffalo. We have Miami. And then we have the Chargers. I mean, it's a tough schedule. I think we have the second toughest schedule behind Pittsburgh, where they have to play, you know, Buffalo and, you know, the Tennessee Titans. Those are the only, like, two different games. And, an NFC West opponent. I think they would play the Seattle Seahawks, if I'm not mistaken. Whoever won that division last year in NFC West. Yeah, Seattle Seahawks. That's who they would play. Yeah, so, I mean, it's not going to be a cakewalk. But, you know, I have faith in my team that we can make the playoffs. Do I think we're going to the Super Bowl? No. Do I think we'll make the playoffs? Yes. Even if we start 0-2. All right, enough about the Ravens. Something that really surprised me, and I feel like I should have expected it, but I didn't. I was seeing Aaron Rodgers go 15 for 28. It's a little bit over 50% for 133 yards, 2 interceptions, a QBR of 13.4, and a quarterback rating of 36.8. That might be the worst in his entire career. Aaron Jones had 5 carries for 9 yards. Are you kidding me? And he had 2 catches for 13 yards. Look, I don't know what the hell happened with Green Bay, but it wasn't pretty by any means. And then Jameis Winston for the Saints, he only had 148 yards passing. So these guys don't even combine for 300 passing yards for the whole game. 2 starting quarterbacks. Even though Love came in, he had 68 passing yards. So, you know, in terms of quarterback play in general, like, you know, there were 300 yards eclipsed, but still. But, you know, you had Kamara running the ball, 20 carries for 83 yards. You had Tony Jones, 11 carries for 50 yards, having a higher yards per carry versus Kamara. Like, you know, that's pretty good. You know, Tony Jones might be the next man up if Kamara ever decided to walk. I'm not sure about his contract situation right now. And then look at Jameis Winston rushing the ball 6 times for 37 yards. That's impressive, too. Something that I didn't really see, like, in his old game. You know, I remember that Jameis Winston was throwing for 350 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. So, you know, I started the Green Bay Packers defense in a lot of fantasy leagues, and it did not serve me well at all, even though I still won 6 out of 7 leagues. I think the Packers will bounce back, though, when they play against the Detroit Lions. They better bounce back, you know. If you lose to the Lions, that's when things start to get a little concerning. I think that may have been my most surprising result. I think another surprising result was Pittsburgh defeating Buffalo. It seems like I thought Pittsburgh was kind of going to pick up where they left off, especially after the first half, you know, when they were being shut out. I was like, okay, this is that Pittsburgh team where they play somewhat decently on defense, but their offense has nowhere to be found. Even though what I just said, it was the complete opposite of their last playoff game against the Browns, 48-37 loss. But somehow Pittsburgh grinded it out and did what they had to do to beat Buffalo. Arizona crushing Tennessee 38-13. I wasn't expecting that, especially when they flew out to the East Coast from Arizona. By the way, I got to visit like Arizona on my way to California. I only stayed in the airport in Phoenix, but it's very, very weird looking out there. It's not something that I'm used to seeing out there. Especially when you're playing, you're looking above, you're like, wow, where the hell is the grass at? But anyway, yeah, I thought Tennessee was going to play a lot better. I thought Derrick Henry would have gotten more than 58 yards, especially on 17 carries. I thought Julio Jones would have had more than 3 catches for 29 yards. Like, Rondell Moore, Chase Edmonds, Christian Kirk all had more receiving yards and catches than Julio Jones. Who would have predicted that? So that was something that I did not want to see. But you know, it is what it is. So in terms of like fantasy, I got Henry on one team and Julio on another. I'll touch on a couple more of these games. Cincinnati, I guess I'll talk about them because they're a division rival. How about Jamar Chase? I don't know if what he did was a publicity thing, talking about like the ball and the stripes and laces and all that, and like him dropping stuff in preseason and practice, and you know him, how he was losing, you know, snaps and time to Auden Tate in practice, like their fifth receiver, like. It's crazy. But Jamar Chase showed up for 5 catches, 105 yards, 101 yards and a touchdown. He had the most targets, the most catches, the most yards. Most catch per average. Most yards per catch, I should say. The longest play, 50 yards, and a touchdown. He is clearly the best receiver on that team. And, you know, there probably shouldn't have been any doubts going into camp or going into the season. Joe Mixon, 29 carries, 127 yards, a touchdown. Joe Mixon had more carries than Joe Burrow had pass attempts. That's that. You know, if you run an offense like that, then you're doing something right. San Francisco and Detroit. I was impressed with San Francisco, the way they performed, but then again, they did play against Detroit. I was disappointed on how they almost lost that game, though. They shouldn't have. They were up by 28 points, I believe, and they let the Lions get back into it. So, you know, that was just weird. That was just weird. Seattle and Indiana, Indianapolis Colts, you know. I'm surprised that Seattle won by that big of a margin. But, you know, the Colts, they're still trying to figure things out, especially with their new quarterback, Carson Wentz. But I think they'll get it together soon. Hopefully they don't get it together against the Ravens in the future, but yeah. The Miami Dolphins narrowly beat the New England Patriots, thanks to a Damian Harris fumble on the final possession. They only won 17-16. Mac Jones, he looked all right. I got the, you know, watch some of the highlights from that game. Some on red zone a little bit. Went 29 for 39, 281 yards. He definitely outplayed Tua, in my opinion. Damian Harris had 23 carries for 100 yards. It looked like it should have been New England's game, to be honest, but. Again, this was another low-scoring Miami New England game that can never, like, reach into the 40s for some reason in terms of total points scored. Denver and the Giants, Daniel Jones, all these weapons you have around you, and you only put up 13 points. This is a make-or-break year for him. I was very impressed with Bridgewater. Somehow, some way, he always finds a way to prove me wrong. I'll touch on the Texans and Jaguars for a little bit. Trevor Lawrence, you know, he had 3 interceptions, was not impressed at all. He had 3 touchdowns, but he was bad. He got outplayed by Tyrod Taylor. Granted, he's a veteran, but, you know, let's see what this hype is all about. I can't believe that's Trevor Lawrence's first regular season loss since high school. He went undefeated in high school, went undefeated at Clemson, and his first NFL start he loses. One thing I will talk about, and this is kind of a personal side note, the fact that James Robinson had 5 carries for 25 yards really pisses me off. You know, I'm a James Robinson fantasy owner in 2 leagues. When Travis Etienne went out, my guy was James Robinson in the 3rd or 4th round when available. I thought he was the best available, but Urban Meyer didn't seem to think so. And I'm thinking to myself, well, maybe I shouldn't have taken a chance on Robinson if they already tried to get Etienne in front of him. So, you know, I wouldn't feel as bad about James Robinson if he was playing with Etienne, but he's playing with Carlos Hyde, you know. Nothing against Carlos Hyde, but this should be James Robinson's backfield. Like, it shouldn't be shared, you know. But the fact that Carlos Hyde almost had double the amount of carries as James Robinson, like, really makes me mad. And then Robinson, he had 3 catches for 29 yards on 6 targets, though. So it makes me feel good that he was targeted 6 times to catch the ball. Carlos Hyde was only targeted twice. So if, like, James Robinson had, like, a Nyheim Hines type of role where he's just basically a pass catcher and gets an occasional touch on the ground, then that would make me feel a little bit better. But, you know, the way the Jaguars were playing, they were playing catch-up. You know, like, Houston was up 14-0 after the first quarter and 27-7 after the first half. So you can't really run the ball too much when you're trailing by that many points. So, I mean, I guess I'll let it slide for now, but I really don't like James Robinson's matchup this week against, you know, the Denver Broncos. Chargers, they impressed. You know, 20-16 was the final. I'm not really surprised that this was the lowest or one of the lowest, you know, scores of the game. You know, I thought Herbert, I was hoping he'd get at least 2 touchdowns. He got only 1. But he had 337 yards passing, 47 pass attempts. Taylor Heinicke came in for Ryan Fitzpatrick, and he did fairly well. You just got to give Washington some time. And I'm going to make my prediction for this game and only this game. I'll do another prediction show for the rest of the games another time. But I got the Washington football team beating the New York Giants. Over-under is 40.5. I got the over in that game. I think the Washington football team can win this game 23-20. I think it'll be a close grind-out game. I'll touch on Cleveland and Kansas City for a little bit. Cleveland looked really good. They impressed. You know, I think we should stop being surprised on how well Cleveland's been playing, considering the fact they did pretty well last regular season. And, you know, they took the Chiefs, you know, to their limit, you know, in Sunday's game and to the last playoff game. So I think guys, including myself, need to stop sleeping on the Chiefs. Excuse me, sleeping on the Browns. Nobody's sleeping on the Chiefs. If you sleep on the Chiefs, that's a problem. And then I'll finally touch on the Los Angeles Rams game. They blew out Chicago. They beat them by 20. They looked like they were going to let Chicago hang around, you know, in the first half. In the second half, they completely took over. They were up 13-7 in the first half. They won 34-14 in the second half. Andy Dalton, he did okay. He went 27-38, 206 yards, 1 interception, no touchdown. The real star on the Chicago offense is David Montgomery, having 16 carries for 108 yards almost averaging 7 yards a carry, and he had a touchdown. What really surprised me was Marquise Goodwin getting 4 catches for 45 yards. I mean, Allen Robinson had 6 catches for 35 yards. Damian Williams, 4 catches, 28 yards. Cole Kmet, 5 catches, 42 yards. Forget Jimmy Graham is on there, too. But how about Matthew Stafford in that offense? He looks really good. He looks so much better than Jared Goff. And then Cooper Kupp getting 7 catches for 108 yards. I'm starting to think I should have drafted him instead of Robert Woods. It seems like Stafford just likes Kupp way more than Woods. Kupp had 10 targets. Woods only had 4. Tyler Higbee had more targets, yards, and catches than Robert Woods. That's deeply concerning for me right now. But again, it's only week one. So, like, you know, there's probably going to be a game where Woods has those type of numbers that Kupp had. And Kupp will have the type of numbers that Woods had, you know, on Sunday night. But yeah, this will conclude my show, guys. Very like random show. I was just kind of trying to keep up with the consistency. And also, like, I wanted to discuss like some of my week one takeaways. There were only a couple of games I didn't really address. It was nice to see Sam Darnold play well against his former team. Him and Robbie Anderson got a touchdown against the old Jets squad. That was nice. And then Jalen Hurts played pretty well against the Falcons. The Falcons really miss Julio Jones right now, but they got to figure it out sooner or later because he only scored 6 points in a whole game against, like, at home, against Philly. I mean, that's a problem. But, yeah, thank you guys so much for listening, taking the time out of your, bright day to, you know, listen to me talk about sports, talk about something that I love to talk about. Ever want to get on? Please let me know. We can try to set something up. I just need to kind of learn how to work with other people's schedule and, like, be patient and whatnot instead of just doing all these shows by myself. Because it's really nice to get into, you know, a groove and a conversation with someone about it so you can create debates and whatnot and have more to talk about. Thank you guys so much for listening. Have a great day.